This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Hawn.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you very much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Hawn, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Lawrence Holmes is in for Molly today instead of his regularly scheduled program at noon. He got up early with us to fill in, and we're having a lot of fun. And we are pleased to welcome Dave Wannstedt, who joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, David and Lawrence. How we doing?
Doing well. Doing very well. Big question about the Big Ten Media Days. You're in town to cover and to be part of, Dave. The power rankings, which is greater, Lovie Smith's beard or your mustache?
Wow.
That's the big question from day one.
That's an easy one. I was talking with Lovie yesterday, and yes, that is some beard. You know, it's the whole time I was talking to him yesterday, I couldn't help but to just keep staring at his beard. You know, I mean, it's one of those that definitely gets your attention. There's no question about that. But no, in a serious matter, we had a good talk yesterday. You know, he had the 2 years. I guess it was going on 3 years ago. Remember, he was starting 10 true freshmen.
Right.
And here we are 3 years later, and he said it yesterday. He said, it's time for these kids to step up and play big. So we'll see what happens.
Since you are at Big Ten, it's good to talk to you again, Dave. I was curious on what your advice would be to Ryan Day on him stepping in for a legendary coaching figure. How does he go about making that program his own?
Well, I think the first thing, and I had a good talk with Ryan yesterday. In fact, he was in Naples in the off season seeing his uncle, and we had lunch together. So I've developed a relationship with him. And he, if you remember back last year when he took over for Urban Meyer during Urban's suspension, I remember talking to Greg Schiano about it, and there's Greg, who was, you know, a former head coach. I mean, they had a very experienced staff, as you guys know. And Greg told me that Ryan really handled things professionally, and the players responded. And so I think, you know, we got to give him a little bit of credit that he did have, even though it was a limited amount of time, he did have some time of sitting in the big chair and having, you know, to make some decisions on game day. The biggest question mark I would be, and I think would probably was Urban Meyer's strong suit, was his recruiting. You know, talking to a lot of the coaches up there, I mean, just knowing how obsessed he was with getting players. And you look what Ohio State's done. I mean, the last 2 months, they have banged out some big-time recruits. So I don't see – that was the only area. I wasn't worried about the coaching. You know, I mean, they've got a good – staff. He brought in some new defensive guys, you know, the one assistant, longtime Michigan guy. He brought in Jeff Hafley, who was on my staff at Pitt. He's got co-defensive coordinators. He's obviously going to run the offense. X and O-wise, coaching-wise, it was not a concern for me. My question mark was, how could he fill in for Urban on the recruiting side? Because at the end of the day, players win games, not coaches. We know that. I think he's off to a very good start.
Urban moves into the broadcast booth in the studio, Dave, and obviously Jim Harbaugh, the rival at Michigan, guy you know very well and are close to, had some things to say about Urban, which got a lot of attention here at Big Ten Media Day. This was during a podcast he had out west.
What's your reaction when Urban Meyer retired, Jim? Obviously a big-time rival, big-time achiever there at Ohio State.
Yeah, Urban Meyer's had a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows everywhere he's been.
That was from the Tim Kawakami podcast, Dave. What was your impression of what Jim had to say about Urban?
Well, you know, I think what he's saying is, you know, there's some validity to it. There's no question about that. But I don't know if it was if it needed to be brought up, to be quite honest with you. You know, I mean, it's not like he's going to be facing Urban on the field. I mean, Urban, maybe it sounds like a little bit of sour grapes. I mean, even though it's factual. I mean, yeah, he had problems at Florida. We know that when after he left, more stuff showed up in the Ohio State issues, you know, with the assistant coach and so forth. But I don't know if it was – if it was needed, I guess I would say that. You know, I mean, at this point, he's not coaching anymore. You're not going to be facing him. He got the better of you when he was there going against you. Let it go.
What are the questions that Jim Harbaugh needs to answer this year?
Well, you know, I mean, he needs to take advantage of this year, and I think he will. I mean, I like them coming out of the Big Ten as the champ. I like them as a college football playoff team. I really do, for a couple reasons. The second year with Shea Patterson, their quarterback, who's got plenty of ability. Jim brought in another offensive coordinator guy who's got a little bit more of that spread mentality. You know, Jim would like to line up. I mean, Jim's got my mentality. He would like to line up with two tight ends and just bloody your nose and run the ball and play defense. But so he's added another offensive mind that's a little bit more wide open, I think, to take advantage of this. He's got a veteran team for the most part coming back. And most importantly, guys, keep in mind their schedule at Michigan this year. I mean, Wisconsin, I think, is going to be down, and they have to go to Wisconsin. But they do have Iowa at home. They've got Notre Dame at home. They've got Michigan State at home. And they've got Ohio State at home. So I think the schedule sets up real nice from a standpoint of you know, having that home crowd advantage, home field advantage. I like Michigan for several reasons. I think Jim Harbaugh takes advantage of the situation this year.
Joined by Dave Wannstedt here on Mully and Haw with Lawrence Holmes sitting in for Mully today. And Dave, closer to home, Northwestern, boy, Hunter Johnson, a lot of excitement around the quarterback, the transfer from Clemson. Clayton Thorson is gone, but this kid is probably as highly regarded of a recruit as played the position at Northwestern, coming in with a lot of hype. What do you expect out of him, and how good of a year could this be for Fitz?
Well, you know, it's a little bit unknown for me. I mean, I'm looking forward when they start practicing to get up there and actually watch this kid perform. I think it fits with Patty Fisher and the defense coming back. You know that they're going to be able to run the ball, and you know they're going to play good defense. It's going to be all about the quarterback. And the biggest thing for Northwestern, I mean, they got to come out of the chutes and start fast. You know what I mean? Traditionally, they've come off and they've fumbled around with their non-conference games early in the year, and then they caught fire like they did last year. Would they win 7 or 8, you know, the conference games in a row after they struggled early in the season? We're going to find out real quick. You know, Northwestern, as you guys know, they open up August 31st at Stanford. And so we're going to have a lot of questions answered real fast in my mind. And then they get the bye. They got UNLV. Then they go Michigan State, at Wisconsin, at Nebraska. So, you know, different than maybe a few years in the past where they've had, you know, two or three lesser opponents, I'll call them, early on in the year. I mean, they're going to have to come out and start fast in order to have a good year this year. And they're capable of doing that. It's going to be a little bit different challenge for Fitzy, though, I think.
Dave, I want to take you out of the Big Ten and into the Big 12 because I wanted to pick your brain on a situation out there. With Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts and him transferring in and going, okay, well, clearly he's going to be the starter. Meanwhile, they've got a redshirt freshman in Tanner Mordecai, who's pretty good, that they like, and a five-star recruit that's coming in, and Spencer Ratliff that's coming in too, and he's really good. How are you supposed to handle this and take care of the guy that chose you and transferred along with the guys that you chose and recruited?
Well, you know, that's the problem a little bit that I have, and I think most coaches have with this transfer program. Now, what did Nick Saban say? There was 50 or 60 players that transferred to other places. And, you know, when you're recruiting a kid, to answer your question, when you're recruiting a kid, one of these freshmen, before Jalen Hurts shows up there, you have a voided quarterback. You know, you had Kyler Murray, he's gone. You had Baker Mayfield, he's gone. So as a recruit, you can see it on paper, black and white. Okay, this is my competition coming up for the future. And then all of a sudden, Jalen Hurts transfers in. You know, that's a difficult – the coach wants to get as many good players as he can, but it's a real challenge and can be a discouraging thing for these young players. Now, here's what I think that they have to decide down there at Oklahoma. You know, Jalen Hurts is a winner. I mean, Nick Saban doesn't win national championships. We can talk about Tua and his great ability and being a number one pick, which he might be, great player at Alabama. But he got hurt, and who came in and saved the day? Jalen Hurts. So I think that, you know, we know that Jalen Hurts is not a passer. He's not as good a passer. He's every bit as good a runner as Kyler Murray, but he's not as good a thrower. So is he going to be the starter, and are they going to pull back on their passing game, or are they going to rotate him in and use him in certain situations and let one of these young kids who can maybe throw it a little bit better take over? You know, that's the dilemma that they're sitting with right now, I think. You know, do we go with this guy, we're going to be limited in the passing game, or do we use him in situations and play one of these younger kids that we know really has up-and-coming passing ability and is going to be good, help us this year, but also be you know, our guy in the future? So, you know, that's some of the challenges that these transfer players coming in will create for a head coach. You know, concerning the personnel and the players that are already there.
Dave, you good to hold on another segment to talk Bears in NFL?
Sure, absolutely.
Dave Wannstedt from the Big Ten Media Days. We will come back. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Dave Wannstedt, hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Lawrence Holmes in for Mully today and getting back to our conversation with Dave Wannstedt, who joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Jeep Dodge and Ram hotline, home of the real deal. Dave, the Bears report to Bourbonnais on Thursday. They're in Decatur on Sunday. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy will address the media on Sunday as part of the welcome back to the season. As a head coach, somebody who's been in this chair, you've been in Matt Nagy's situation, how different is the second training camp compared to the first?
Well, you know, from an organization standpoint and a logistics standpoint, it's easier. The thing that's a little bit different, I think that first training camp, you look around the league, most first-year head coaches, you know, there's a sense of urgency with the players. They're not sure how the head coach is going to react to situations, what's this guy really going to be like when things are good, when things are bad. So there's a little bit of a feeling out period, I should say. And usually the players play, you know, with a little bit of more, you get a lot more out of your players, I think, because there's a sense of urgency of, hey, you know, they want to prove themselves. So now the biggest thing is not going in there and having a little bit of complacency with the players. And I know Matt Nagy will be talking about that. There's no question about that, but it's human nature, and you know, it happens, and you have to address it. And sometimes you got to be a little bit tougher year two than what you really were year one, because if you're not, the players, boy, you slip one bit, you get a little bit inconsistent, you let one thing slide, and then all of a sudden it snowballs on you. So you know, I mean, that would be my thought. I've lived that. I've done it. That would be my approach. Just make sure that you're keeping your thumb on the little things, because little things can become big things.
Dave, how valuable is the offseason for Mitchell Trubisky, where he already knows what the offense is and has 16 games of tape to watch that offense, versus coming in cold with a new head coach that's filling your head with a lot of information?
Big advantage for him. And, you know, I think Mitch is the type of player that, you know, and it really falls back on the player. And, you know, as far as, you know, how much does this player really want to improve, and how much time does he really want to spend when he doesn't have to? I believe that Mitch is the type of guy that he wants it. I mean, he's serious about it. And I'm sure that between Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator, and Matt Nagy, that, you know, they were available for him, you know, around the clock if he wanted to be, to watch tape. And you're not just learning the system now. You know, you get to the point with a quarterback where once he's in the system as a coach, you start thinking, okay, you know, they know what we did last year. Packers aren't going to line up and run the same defense. I mean, you know, what could they do? You know, okay, Mitch, you know, if they, you know, last year they played a cover three look in the three deep. Now, what are you going to do, Mitch, if they come out and they blitz in that situation? Or they come out, Mitch, in this situation, they play a two deep, and now we've got to make an adjustment. You know what I mean? So I think the first year you're learning the system. The second year, you know, you know the system, you don't take it for granted, but then you start thinking, okay, they're going to make some changes. You know, it's the cat and mouse theory of what are we going to do, and how are you going to handle what adjustments that we have to make, because they're going to change. In the NFL, they're too good. They're not going to sit there and just let us do what we did last year.
Dave, Lawrence and I had a conversation earlier about the NFL and the Players Association meeting this week in Chicago about a new CBA, working toward an agreement, and a lot of the discussion will revolve around the 18-game schedule proposal, or the possibility of whether it's an 18-game schedule period or 18 games with a 16-game cap on players, which I don't like, and I think that's a bit problematic. But what are your thoughts in terms from a coaching perspective? Would you welcome an 18-game schedule with a reduced preseason schedule, or do you think it exposes players to more injury?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't like the thing only play 16 games. I mean, that makes no sense, you know, to me. I see where the owners are coming from. They don't want to give up two games, right? They don't want to give up, you know, two more games of the TV and the fans and everything that goes with that, with the stadium stuff. So I get that part of it. So they're, you know, they're saying, okay, we'll take two away in the preseason, but we want to add two on. Would it add some more stress on the players? Absolutely. You see how the preseason's gotten now. I mean, truly, the veteran players, if you combine the total number of snaps that they're playing, they might be playing one game's worth. Even though we're playing four preseason games, you know, they're probably getting 50, 60 snaps total, which is equal to about one game. So, now all of a sudden you play two regular season games, and it's going to be two regular season games. I mean, it's going to stress them more. I mean, you know, on the other side, they're making a heck of a lot more money than what they had in the past. So, you know, I get what the owners are trying to do. They're trying to, you know, take away from the preseason, add it to the regular season. From a player standpoint, they're saying, oh boy, we're beat up enough right now. We don't want any more. I don't see it happening, to be quite honest with you. I think that the players will put up too much of a guard to say, you know, we don't want to go through that. We don't want to put our bodies through that. It'll all be about the injury thing.
Well, since players do complain, Dave, a lot about preseason, you're a coach. You've been a player. You know how these things work. How important are the preseason games to get ready for an NFL season?
Well, I think they're really important. I mean, with the limited number of practices that you have, the limited number of contact drills that you have in practice nowadays, I mean, how do you perfect? It's still a game of blocking and tackling. And I don't care if it's the high school level, you got to learn how to tackle. Tackle, there's an art to good, sound, safe. I say safe. tackling somebody, you know, as far as the position of your head and the position of your legs and what you do with your arms. I mean, and the only way to perfect that technique, I think, is you got to practice it. So, you know, because trust me, when it's going to be full speed, when the Packers and the Bears play the open of season, there's not anybody going to be going half speed out there. So to me, and maybe it's a little bit old school, I don't think so. I think you have to, you know, practice like you want to play. So you have to have full speed work. And I think the preseason games are important. I really do.
Dave, we love talking to you on the radio. We love seeing you on television. But at this time of year, with at the end of July and you get into August, do you start to miss coaching? Do you miss getting ready, not getting ready for a training camp and that kind of mentality, that mindset?
Absolutely. I came home last night from the Big Ten meetings, the media day, and I walked in, and that's the first thing. My wife, you know, obviously knows me like a book, and she said, "What's the matter?" I said, "You know what? I stand up there and I'm listening to all these guys talk about this stuff." I said, "There's no question I could do this," you know, and on. So yeah, this time of year, it's tough. This time, probably the beginning and the end, when all the jobs are moving around and people are getting jobs, and I say, you know, it is. I'll be honest with you, but I'm fortunate to be in the position I am, and I'm going to be doing some coaching now. I might have a grandson playing this year.
That's great.
So we'll see.
Well, we enjoy having you, and we enjoy talking to you because it means it's football season, and we'll be talking
Absolutely.
To you more regularly. Have a great weekend, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Dave. Good talking to you. See you, Lawrence.
Dave Wannstedt he comes up with something every week, and every week you remember the conversation, and it is fun to talk to Wani because you heard it in his voice. I mean, he's just invested in football, and you love to talk football with Wani.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.